Hello, I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. G'day, ballers, and welcome to the Baller NRL Supercoach podcast. This is not a planned pod. We said we weren't going to be back till Sunday, but it's Thursday night, and this is an emergency podcast because for those who haven't seen the news, there are massive changes at hand. So this year, NRL Supercoach will not be scored by Fox Sports statistics that had been in previous years. They are now shifting over and changing their stats to be the same providers who do NRL.com. I'm here joined by the self-proclaimed head honcho of the Baller Podcasting Arm, the four-time in a row top 500 finisher, coach of the Terrace Crew, Matt Ricks. How are you, Matty?
I'm good, mate. I don't know about this self-proclaimed stuff, but I would call it very much not self-proclaimed. I'm good, mate. I've got to be honest. Like this news today was jarring. I was rattled all afternoon. Baller Towers went into meltdown for a little bit. Just what does this all mean? We worked our way through it though. I think we're going to be good. I think Baller is going to be well positioned to be a beacon of light for super coaches out there as we get a handle on the data and what the changes mean. I think there's still like a lot to be clarified though, isn't there, from Supercoach HQ?
Yeah, we're still waiting on more information. There's going to be a couple of things we'll talk through in this episode that we're not 100% sure about. There's some things that we do have pretty good clarity on and some things we don't. Matt, you've mentioned a little bit about Baller's response, and I'm excited to hear what the plan are from the Baller boffins behind the scenes, the ones who aren't you, the ones who do the hard work. Keen to hear more of what their plans are moving forward. Is there much you can tell us specifically tonight, or is it a bit of a wait and see?
No, it's definitely a wait and see, mate. All I can say is that we're on the case and yeah, we're hoping to see what we can do in terms of making sure we've got, you know, our updated feeds, so the stats are coming through correctly, getting the projections sorted. That's going to be a bit of a change as well, because as we'll discuss tonight, there's definitely some impact on scoring and the interpretations of some of the key stats, particularly try and line assists, and how they're judged. So we've always loved a sweep in Supercoach, Jono, but this could be the death of the sweep.
Well, you're touching on something I want to talk about. Put Baller aside for a moment. Matt Ricks, lover of Supercoach, long-term player before it was a job. How do you personally feel about this changing of stats? And we'll get into the nitty-gritty of it soon, but just what's your overall feel about this change?
Well, like anyone, Jono, like change is immediately jarring and I don't like it. No one likes change, especially when it happens to their favourite game 3 weeks out from the start of the season. I'm a little bit rattled in the sense of like, I wish they just launched the game with these new stats and they could have shown all the stats from last year and then launched the game with prices that corresponded to the new scoring system.
Yeah.
I think it's going to lead to a lot of teams that are very similar. Like, I'm sure we'll get into it, but guys like Herbie Farnworth, Isaiah Yeo, Val Holmes, they're going to be like 70, 80% owned amongst like all the serious players. So that is a bit annoying. It's just going to create a lot of same teams, I think. Not that there weren't some popular players already, but that part of it annoys me a little bit.
Can I jump in and be positive for a moment?
Yes, go.
Because I'm with you. I 100% for the record agree. Let's just launch it with this in mind, like, and let's reflect the prices how it starts, because it is a little bit like now we're playing two different games. We're playing, all right, find the value with these new rule changes. Plus, you're still going to think about the normal stuff like your cash cows, your value guys, who's got different roles. So you're actually kind of looking at two games at once now. The positive for me is this. It was always frustrating with those late updates coming through. It was always annoying. It was annoying how things were up in the air with who gets the try assist, who doesn't, down to some person's interpretation of who had the most impact on the play. I do like that it's going to bring us a lot of clarity. I think we've all had times where there's been a guy who on Thursday night gets a good VC score, but there's like a try assist that we're not 100% sure about. It's like, will they get that try assist? Will they lose another try assist? So I really do think long-term, once we're used to the change that's happened, once we've got our heads around it, I actually do think it's a good thing for Supercoach.
I agree. And then Tom Sangster came out today and said they're going to enable a ton of new live features as well, which is fantastic. Awesome. Baller are obviously a bit at the forefront of some of this live stats and everything as well. So, you know, hopefully we can play a great role there and with the community that we're building. So, yeah, I think there are a ton of positives. And I was going to get to the positive, John. I just wanted to vent some frustration that I know a lot of serious coaches are feeling out there today, because it is a big shock to the system. Like, we take this game very seriously. It's a lot of fun. And like
too,
I said,
too seriously, some may say.
I mean, most normal people would say that, I think.
Just seriously no, enough for those in the
positives.
Community.
There are a lot of positives. And I am looking forward to it once we get over this initial hump of the change. Like, and I am excited. Like, this is the first time we've ever done an emergency podcast. I really feel like now I'm the stereotypical podcaster
doing an emergency pod.
I've done it all. Emergency, yeah, exactly.
All right, Matt, for people who don't know, because obviously we are Supercoach diehards, we got this news, immediately started looking at what it does, texting back and forth in group chats and on the Discord. But can you just give a little overall summary for the people who listen to the pod who maybe aren't as diehard and nerdy as us? What are the big changes to these stats? Like, you might think from one company to another, what's it matter? Stats are stats. It's not quite that simple, is it?
No, great question. Rugby league stats are very... let's say subjective, some of these metrics that we use, particularly, like I said, try assists and then associated line break assists. And then the other big one is tackles and how they're interpreted. So on Fox Sports, they are very hesitant to give the third man in that tackle. And so we see that there's an uptick. I don't know exactly what it is, Jono, but I would say between 5 and 10% more tackles on NRL.com that are scored. So I think that's going to be really big for your middle forwards. We'll go through a few numbers, but we can already see like Payne Haas, Isaiah Yeo, they're going to get more tackle stats under the new scoring system. So it's all about how it's interpreted. So they're moving from Fox Sports data to Stats Perform data, who are the official providers to NRL.com. So now the stats in the game will match those stats on NRL.com. And that has been a bugbear for a long time. So I think once we get over this, it'll be better from that perspective. It's just that big change now where, and look, it's not the worst for the game to shake up. The key position was always fullback. And I think we're going to see fullbacks still be really relevant and important to the game. It's just that to start this season, the good ones are going to be relatively overpriced and harder to start with.
Yeah. Matt, we've already got a question coming in because we are streaming live on YouTube. Yes. For those watching along. This comes from Degenosaurus, and I think this is in response to earlier where you said you reckon there's going to be a lot of similar teams. He is asking, he's actually wondering if it's going to be less similar because of now, instead of there being 5 to 10 key chiefs that everyone has, there's now probably 50 players, maybe even more, Degenosaurus, that are 5 to 10 points underpriced. I tend to agree with him, Matt. I think this opens up a lot of people having different approaches. Or do you just think the data is going to be so clear once it's all in and the dust is settled that there will be a very core group that you reckon people need?
In certain positions, yes, there will be. Cheapies will remain the same. I don't think there's going to be much change on the cheapies everyone needs and gets. You know, all the popular ones, Chester and Sanders. It probably brings in Sanders and Atkinson a little bit more into the equation. Just because maybe these halfbacks are not quite as good. I haven't gone too deep, but I think that there's not too much change on the halfback front.
Yeah, agreed.
There was a little bit of chat earlier today when we were right in the thick of the news that the hit ups are changing to runs. So I haven't got it fully clarified yet, but I believe that they're still going to be hit ups. So in NRL fantasy, they're classified as runs. So you don't actually have to be tackled to get that stat. So Nico Hines and Nathan Cleary are amazing at that stat in fantasy. If that transferred over to Supercoach, then they would be amazing. They'd be the best players in the game. But I think that what's happening is NRL do have that coach. Sorry, Gramsci's telling me there are no runs. But that stat, the transfer over, they do. So the run, the all runs, if they transferred that over, they would be great. But I think they are going to do hit-ups and hit-ups eight. So they do meters gained, obviously, in fantasy. Apologies to any of our fantasy listeners out there. That's that.
So, Matt, what we're looking at most likely, the two biggest changes, the two you mentioned earlier. So we're looking at the third man in tackles, which I've honestly, sometimes you look, that could be 8 to 10 tackles different in a game. I mainly know this because one of the Tubes and I have had this discussion many times where Tubes was waiting for his players to get an extra 8 tackles in a game and had to keep explaining the third man in rule. He did finally, it's sunk in after about 5 years. But that can be a really big difference from game to game. So your hookers, your kind of plotter front rowers, your locks, they stand to gain a lot. And the other one, the big losers that it looks like initially is going to be these fullbacks, these guys who so heavily relied on that loop play where they didn't throw the last pass. Those try assists now and the line break assist that is associated with them look like they're going to go to centers. So the big losers, Matt, I think we're looking at is probably fullback overall as the position that is the biggest loser overall. And the big winners look to be your hookers, your middle forwards, and your centers. Does that all sound pretty right to you based on what you've seen?
Fullbacks are definitely the big losers. Halfbacks and I haven't gone too deep yet on halfbacks and 5/8s. So I don't know if they're going to be big losers or not. I think there is a chance that they are losers too, but just to a lesser extent than fullback. All the creative fullbacks are in big trouble because they're the ones who run the sweeps generally.
Ponga,
Edwards, Drinky, Turbo.
Yeah.
And Teddy to a lesser extent, but Teddy is still impacted here. So, yeah, all those fullbacks are now essentially overpriced. The big winners are Hooker, as you say, Harry Grant. Just a shout out to Rugby League Fantasy Pro as well, because he's already updated his stats and on site. They obviously do fantasy and super coach, so well done to them. Harry Grant is already averaging 5 points more from 62 to 67 on the new scoring system. So, yeah, him and McInnes are really good. Obviously, McInnes another middle forward. Then over in the middle guys, like your Paulos, Haases, Kalamatungis are all going up. Taylan May. So middle forwards, like you said, Jono, and then the big ones at 2RF are Isaiah Yeo up 6 points and Maddie Nicholson up 6 points also. So yeah, I think it's got the sniff of like back to the good old like the old days of Supercoach with the meat and potatoes, your Corey Parkers and the like of those middle. I can't even remember all those other middle boys, but him and Gallen and stuff like used to rule the game back then, didn't they?
Oh, absolutely. Who was old mate from the Raiders? Sean Fensham. He'd love these rule changes to Fence.
The other ones, Jono, I suppose worth calling out is the centre wings. So, and specifically the centres. So
yeah, exactly. The centers, not the centre wings, the legitimate NRL centres.
The big base centres. So the ones who do a bit more tackling as well, but also the ones who get the last touch try. So the, you know, think about all those really hot edges in the NRL. Dolphins left edge, Dragons left edge, Sharks left edge, all those left centres, it's party time for them. So let me just go through a few of those quickly, Jono. Farnworth up 5.4, Iro up 5, Val Holmes up 4.8, and Taylan May up 3.6.
So you're referencing points per game there, aren't you?
Yes, points per game.
Average points per game, yeah.
So, yeah, I think that Iro, Farnworth, and Val will all be massively owned. I think Latrell Mitchell now moving to center is going to be massively owned. I'm just going across the board. All the top scoring centers from last year are all up under this new scoring system.
Yeah, and just as an example, like you're saying, points per game, as an overall season difference, last year, Herbie Farnworth and Val Holmes both were given 4 try assists in NRL Supercoach. Under this new change in rules, they would have both received 9 try assists in NRL Supercoach and plus the line break assist that goes with that, because they also went to the sweeping fullback in those occasions. So it is a really, really big change. Matt, we have another question. It's just come through from @JacobB88. He said, I think the flex might be used quite differently by a lot of coaches this year. 3 fullbacks not so locked in anymore. Now, I already was not going to have 3 fullbacks in my Supercoach team this year. I'm absolutely not having 3 fullbacks in my team now. But where my question comes in, Matt, for me, I now think by far the 2 best fullbacks are Sua Fa'alongo, because of his price and his value. He wasn't a big try assist merchant anyway. And also Keanu Kinney. I actually think that just taking 2 cut rate fullbacks who aren't going to drop in value like many of the other fullbacks were might be the way to go. Obviously, eventually you want to get the gun fullbacks back in, but you kind of want to wait for their price to drop now, don't you?
Yeah, I think so. It could be a pod play to go one of those fullbacks to try and get him a breakout to start the season.
Risky.
Risky. I don't think I'll be doing it. Yeah, it's 2 fullbacks, or it's even like, given we need so many center wings, like it could be honestly Tommy Chester at fullback too.
Yeah.
That
was going to be my question for you, because you said the cheapy strategy doesn't change, right? But at center wing.
The cheapies themselves don't change.
No, but sorry, but like what I'm saying is, do they? Because the 3 of the most popular cheapies were center wingers, Tom Chester, who you mentioned. Obviously, either Setu Tu or David Farley, and the Titans winger, whose name is escaping me, but the one who's expected to be in the team. But now do you maybe want to not go as many of those guys to get these other undervalued centers into your team? Or do you look at a center wing as your flex?
I just think it's I don't know. I haven't gone and made a new team. I haven't had the I was a bit mental busy capacity. Later this afternoon, and then I didn't have the mental capacity because I just wanted to get in and look at some stats. But yeah, I, I I think it's how many can you fit in? And I genuinely think that Tom Chester might be fullback too, which is incredible. If you told me that at the start of the day.
Just wouldn't have, you would have laughed at yourself.
Yeah, and I think flex could be either a centre winger or a front rower. That's probably, I think, where that'll land. It'll be interesting because I think now Payne Haas will be owned by everyone. If he wasn't already, he was already 56% owned, and so that can only go north. So it brings Terrell May right back into the reckoning as well. There are so many good options at front row and second row. So where you get the money on the park, these guys are still, even though they're undervalued, they're still expensive. So you still do have to fit, like pick and choose which are the best guys. You got to run it. You want to run a value strategy and a gun strategy. It's going to be really important it's guns and value now rather than, value guns and cheapies.
Yes.
That's probably.
So that's the main, you're playing two games now. You're not just looking at the things the way you were before. It's two games. Look, maybe not as structured as we usually would be, Matty, but I do want to kind of take a backward step and again talk through some of these overall rule changes and what we're seeing. So another one, we've obviously mentioned that the tackles, we've mentioned the attacking assists and how that impacts line break assists as well. Offloads is another change. And I actually had noticed on the app since it launched, they had the words changed around the offloads. It was always effective offload, ineffective offload. And I noticed this year that that had changed to OH and OG. I just thought I didn't know it was going to make this kind of a change. But they now mean offload to hand and offload to ground. It used to just be related to effective or ineffective was after the offload was made, whether it hit the ground or not, did a player progress forward past the mark where the offload was made. Now we're going to be looking at 4 points for an offload to hand and 2 points for an offload to ground. So they might throw an offload to ground, the guy might pick it up and make a line break, but that's still only going to be 2 points, not four.
Right.
Do you think that's going to have much of an impact? For me, I think it's probably fairly limited in comparison to the other stuff.
Yeah, no, not really. At least it just makes it cleaner so we know what the scores are. There's not going to be conjecture over was the offload effective or not. That's not a big one, I don't think.
Look, we've had a comment come in from Lachlan Camilleri. G'day, Lachlan. Big baller, Lachlan. He said, I still wouldn't load up on seven centres. Wingers are still relevant given tries are still worth the most. I don't think that's the point either of us are trying to make. Like, we're not saying that wingers are going to become irrelevant. It's just that centres are probably now really undervalued across the board.
Starting team we're talking about.
Yeah.
So
not what you build to eventually over the course of the year. Yeah.
Correct. He's right. And as the prices level out, that's where you're going to want to find those wingers who go on a run for sure. I think it's just a case of the wingers are just more fairly priced. If you think someone's going to go well, like a Kiraz or a Brian To'o, I think they're still great picks. So I wouldn't shy away from them. It's just about, you know, but I don't think you could possibly go those guys to start over an Eero Holmes or Farnworth.
Yeah. Just a comments come in from BKP1305. He or she, they have said, you can get a team with Brayley, Grant, Haas, Tarpanay, Tino, Herbie, Ito, Val, Casey McLean, Luttrell. So he's kind of looking at they're now the new guns, I guess, the lock into your team and seeing no mention of fullbacks there at all.
Brayley's an interesting one.
Yeah, you've got stats on Brayley. How did he change?
He only went up two or just under two. But I think I really want to see a little bit more clarification on the scoring because he is someone who could really benefit by a change to the, like if he gets more like last part, like where if he just throws a ball out of dummy half and there's a try.
Well,
They're a bit hesitant to give those on Supercoach previously.
No, but on NRL.com they do, I believe.
Like I know. So he's on the figures that I've got from Rugby League Fantasy Pro, he's up to a 68.7 average from a 66.9, which is 1.8 above. And the other point is there that they really pivoted their strategy to run more play through Brayley. We saw him running it a lot more. So I'm just not convinced that that's going to be the same again. It might be.
Really? I thought that to me, just as a non-Sharks fan, I thought maybe that was just a change in tactic and with how well they played, they keep it going. But yeah, maybe.
I'm just probably saying maybe he's not quite as good a value as
Harry Grant.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Grant's just got it all now. He's underpriced on the new scoring system, and he's a fallen gun. Like he looked underpriced anyway. Yeah. So there's feasibly 10 to 15 points of value in Harry Grant straight off the bat. So yeah, I think he's much more important to own. One who I am going to be very interested in is Connor Watson. as he moves into that middle forward role. He's going to get a lot of those extra tackles, I think, playing in this role. He's only up 1.4 on the new stats published by Fantasy Pro, but
it's coming from Hooker.
I expect that exactly. So going with the rule change, I'd expect that potentially to go up a bit. I don't know if I'll start with him or not, but he's just an interesting one for me.
Matty, producer Grams, he's made the point that we will need to save trades. What are your thoughts on that call? Maybe saving trades, waiting till guys fall down to where they should be and then pouncing? Or are you still going to – I know you're a big man of like trade hard, trade early if the right moves are there. Does that change your mindset around how you use your trades at the beginning of the year?
I'll be blunt, Jono. I have no idea. I haven't thought about trading whatsoever. Like maybe that sounds pretty spot on. I do think though we might be – depending on some of these rule interpretations, like stat interpretations and how they're doing it. Like, I'm not convinced that they won't change the way that they score the game. Like, the stats performed won't change it. Like, who knows?
Gotcha. Yeah, yeah.
We could be scrambling to fix our teams early. Well, that what Gramsci says there makes sense in terms of, yes, we are going to want to save some trades to fill up with guns later. I haven't gone into enough thought for that yet.
Yeah.
But
yeah. I know this is don't hold us to anything we say on this pod, because this is like
correct. Don't do that.
We had the Sunday snap during the regular season, or starting this Sunday, in fact, for the first round of the trials, where we give our snap reactions, and Tubes and I often say things on a Sunday night while we're still fired up from the round that we disagree with by Monday morning. This is like the Sunday snap reactions for NRL rule changes. So we need time for this to marinate. Matt, another interpretation between the two websites that might be different, which I think overall may have minimal impact, but I'm interested to hear your thoughts. Tackle breaks. So the interpretation, it does appear to be slightly different. As an example, Payne Haas had 14 less tackle breaks by the stats on NRL.com versus Supercoach in 2025. I mean, look, 14 tackle breaks over the course of, you know, a long season, and Payne Haas did play most of the games. Doesn't seem like a huge impact, does it?
So I'm no expert here. Like, I think it doesn't, because he's obviously mopping them up with tackles. So
true.
Yeah.
But everyone is, I guess.
That's an exact stat that I think they might start reinterpreting. From what I understand it, and again, I'm no expert on NRL stats, but I think that they're a bit harder on tackle breaks, that actually a missed tackle has to be affected. So when, as far as I understand, in Supercoach, when you make a line break for a try, there is a tackle break given with that, even though you haven't actually busted a tackle, or there's a missed tackle given as well to the player every line break. So
really?
Yeah. So I think those disappear in this sense. So like if the winger falls over the line, they don't get any tackle break, but I'm not 100% sure. So please don't quote me again on that. Anyway, the point is that I think they give a few less tackle breaks on NRL.com than they did on Fox Sports. I think there has to be a stat on the other side. So for every action, there is a reaction So if there's a tackle break, there's been a missed tackle. Where in Supercoach, I don't think that's necessarily the case, or was the case. RIP.
Matt, we have a question from Mr. Sam Bode. What halfbacks will benefit if digging into the line counts as a run? Now, Matt, first of all, you did mention at the very top of the show, I think maybe we could unpack it a little bit better for people listening who don't understand about these runs versus hit-up situation and what your understanding of it is at this stage. Then we'll unpack Mr. Sam Bode's question. So can you just explain this hit-ups versus runs thing that you mentioned at the top of the show?
So as everyone knows, in Supercoach, you can score points by taking a hit-up, and that means getting tackled with the ball or getting tackled and then offloading. You get 2 points for a hit up over 8 meters. You get 1 point for a hit up under 8 meters. In NRL.com stats, they do have a stat called all runs, I believe. And what a run is it's either a hit up or it's a run into the line. I think that it's for 8 meters or more. And I don't know if that's 8 meters forwards or 8 meters horizontal. But what I do know is that some of those halfbacks, just like Mr. Sam Bode mentions, are very good at that stat. So Nathan Cleary and Nico Hines particularly. Nico Hines had something like 150 hit-ups in Supercoach last year, but he had 340 all runs in, or something ridiculous like that.
Yeah, wow.
In
so those halfbacks who just catch the ball, take a couple of steps and dish, they count as runs by the NRL stats.
Correct. You don't need to be tackled.
Crazy. Yeah.
So you just have to get forward. I don't even know how far it is, but you just have to get forward, run the ball a little bit. So if honestly, anyone wants to tell us in the comments, let me know. But yeah, that's how they interpret it. They have changed it in Supercoach to be now runs. So it's runs and run eights. So whether that's something, from what other people have been saying, though, they're not going to change that. It's still going to be hit ups, because I know they do get that data as well somewhere. So I would prefer that not to change.
Agreed. I think that'd be too big a change. Like, I know I was positive at the top of the show. That would be the one that would just be like so almost like a cheat code to certain players that I don't think I'd enjoy that interpretation if that's where it goes.
I've really enjoyed Supercoach's like transition towards attacking stats as well.
Agreed. It seems like we're going back to the middleman.
So I think, but in saying all that, I think that they might transition this year and then try and improve it again more for the more flair attacking players down the track.
Definitely.
This is more about getting the game consolidated onto a single stats platform. It makes it, you know, enables them to make more improvements over time, speed it up for the users. And then it gives them something to build on. So I've got no doubt. Like, I know that's a huge principle of Tommy Sangster and the team at News Corp. So I would be shocked if we don't get back to that. But this year it's going to be real meat and potatoes, John.
Yeah. So off your initial research, though, to answer Mr. Sambodo's question. So Nico Hines, if it does go that way, which we don't think it would be a big winner. Nathan Cleary, I think you mentioned, would be a quite a big winner in that regard as well. Basically, any halfback who's so ball dominant and gets the ball, steps forward and passes would be big winners.
Correct. Yeah, that's right.
You know,
especially those who also set up tries directly. So, like, I think, like, Izzy Katoa is a big loser at the moment. He loses a ton of try assists. Yeah, well, I think he loses a ton of try assists under the new system. So he obviously did the line engagement, ball out the back to a sweeping hammer or whoever, or Herbie, and then onto Bostock, soon to be Cobbo. And he gets the try assist there, if it's not a sweep. But now Herbie would get that try assist. So, yeah. So I think, any halfback, to your point, who loves to run the ball and engage the line will benefit from if they do go that way. But we'll see.
And one other statistical change is try contributions. It's just a little bit unclear where they're going to be drawn from. They were always an interpretive thing. At the moment, I don't believe that NRL.com, and what's the stats provider you said, sorry, Matt?
Stats Perform.
I don't believe that they have a try contribution stats. That might be a thing that they're going to have to add manually as the game goes on. I guess hopefully we get some more clarity around that soon.
Yeah, Matt, we need to get Tommy Sangster on the pod. I'm going to.
He's one of your mates, isn't he?
Look, we used to play a bit of cricket together, me and young Tom. So he's a very, very, very good guy and loves his footy.
Nice. Matt, we've kind of talked through most of the big changes. Happy for more questions to come if people have them. But what I want to get from you now is heading over to that great emergency podcast stats sheet that you've got there, Matty.
Yeah.
I just want you to go through from kind of any position you want, but I'm interested in your interpretation. Give me the five biggest winners that you can see at this stage if the rule changes go the way we think they will at this stage.
So five biggest winners, and there's going to be a theme here. I think you can categorize them by middle forwards who make a lot of third man tackles, and center wings who throw a lot of last pass try assists. Those are the guys that we now want to be targeting. So guys who are on dominant edges playing center, and guys who play big minutes in the middle and make a lot of tackles. So let's start with the middle guys. I'm going to say biggest winner here is Isaiah Yeo. He plays big minutes. I thought he was great value already.
We had him on our must-have pod as a must-have already.
Yeah. So I think he's nailed on now. Harry Grant.
Can I just say, similar. Matt, sorry, just as you go through these players, like you said, Isaiah Yeo, so he's priced at a 62.4. We already think that's underpriced based on what the player we think he is. His new average based on these stats would have been 68.4, taking him up to like another 80K more expensive based on those numbers. So just to give a little bit more clarity to the listeners.
Correct. So I would suggest that he's 10 points underpriced now. So he'll be straight into to my team. Similar with, we spoke about Harry Grant earlier, so I'm going to say he's the second biggest winner. He's probably the best priced gun in the game now, 600K. I think he was already in a lot of teams. Someone like Payne Haas is I don't think we need to go into. I think he's projecting up in the 90s now, so that's huge. I'm going to say that this is a little bit of a weird one, but Paddy Carrigan, if his minutes can hold, I don't know if I would start with Carrigan, but he's someone who is going to need to be looked at pretty strongly. One person who is really going to pique the interest, and he's a big favourite at baller, Toby Couchman.
Oh, Danny boy.
Brother of Ryan. He is projecting up four. Under the new scoring system, according to Rugby League Fantasy Pro, he would have averaged 4.5 points more per game on last year. So if we can see a role in a minutes thing there, or even just talking about this, so it's kind of like, I don't think we want to just pick players just because they've averaged more. Like, I think we've still got to think they're good picks generally, and the role is going to be there.
But the thing is, like, a lot of these players you're mentioning, Harry Grant, Isaiah Yeo, Toby Couchman, they're already picks that people were talking about because people Correct. Thought they were value. So you're kind of just doubling this on. I'll tell you one that I find interesting, Matty, and I'll let you go back to your big winners in a moment, but looking at this stat spreadsheet that you and Danny Boy got ready for us, Big Artino for Suamalawi, he's actually projected to go down a little bit, not by much, 0.4 points a game. But geez, that's a testament to the fact that he's just not a flopper tackler, isn't it? Like, if he tackles, he's tackling. He's not coming in third man in and getting those glory ones. He's tackling hard. I love that for Tino.
Correct, yeah. Maybe he lost a try assist or something too, Tino. Who knows?
Maybe.
Yeah, it's hard to know. This is the thing. It's not going to become apparent for a few days until we can sort of sift through the – it's a terrible analogy – until we can sift through the rubble of the fallen old Supercoach house to really get under these stats and find out why players are average less. So, like, where is it because they've lost try assists? Is it because they've tackled less? Is it because they've tackled more? All of these certain things. So, yeah, I see Lockie Camilleri's just come back in. The Couchman loves a third man tackle. So he was always annoyed as a non-owner in fantasy. But yeah, so those are the guys, like the Nathan Hindmarshes, the floppers. They're back in business in Supercoach.
So you've mentioned the big kind of middles who are going to benefit. You've gone through front row forward, hooker, second row forward. Outside backs, it looks like the centre wings are now the most kind of value picks. It's not like every single one of them is undervalued 5 to 10 points a game now, but it looks like a couple of the guys you mentioned before, Herbie Farmworth, he does so much last man passes on that left edge. Like, looking at pairing Herbie and a Selwyn Cobbo, who was already well owned, seems like a really good stack now, which actually Tube mentioned is a good tactic anyway in the last pod. KL Eero, I didn't realise, I mean, you watch the Sharkies more in depth than me. I didn't realise KL was such a last man passer under the wing.
Yeah, no, he's excellent at it. But it's no surprise these guys, Farnworth, Eero, Holmes, they're the best guys on the dominant edges. So, you know, it's no surprise that they're the ones here who are getting those balls on for the tries.
Matt, what about
There might be one or two who prevail now on a. We just don't really know who they are yet. You know, Casey McLean, arguably, under this rule, if he'd passed it, the 17 times that he didn't last year, imagine how many more he'd be averaging.
Yeah, if he did it across rounds 1 to 8 when he refused to pass the ball out to old Tommy Jenkins there, who was catching colds and everyone was raging. I actually think I had Casey McLean as a rage trade on the Sunday Snap 1 week, but not for me, but for Ivan Cleary, because I was so frustrated at Tommy Jenkins never crossing the line. Matt, the biggest losers. So we, I think, are in overall agreement that the biggest losers at the what we're guaranteed of how it looks is fullbacks. So you pick a fullback who's a heavy ball playing fullback, they are a loser in this situation. Halfbacks is interesting because they're not always like given as much. You mentioned Izzy Katoa, yes, definitely impacted. Nathan Cleary overall, I know a lot of people are looking to fade him to start the year, and you might on the surface think this is bad for him. He, based on last year's scoring, only going to lose just over 1.1 points a game. Not as big an impact as you might have expected there for Nathan Cleary. Nico Hines also look a little bit. He's only losing 2.5 a game. It's not a huge impact. So Halfback, it doesn't seem to be as bad. Not, it's definitely not good for them, but they seem to be, of all the positions, kind of the most break even with what they were.
Yeah, I haven't. That's, like I said, this is probably the position I haven't looked into the most. But again, it's sifting through the rubble of where they've lost those points. That's going to be the important thing. So we need to get the clarification on how they're going to score. We need to get clarification on that they're going to be interpreted the same. Then once we get some of that info, or, you know, to then go, okay, where have these guys, why are they averaging 2 points less? Is it because they're not, is it because they've lost those tries? Is it because they're gaining, you know, or understanding the underlying nature of it, and then being able to relay it back to, okay, well, is that going to be repeated this year? So obviously before today, we all had a good handle on what happened last year, and that's all in the pricing, but we're trying to think about, everyone's building their own narrative as to how the season's going to play out, what's going to change. Now everyone's going to be much more like revisionist as to, okay, what happened last year? All I'm going to do is just go hunting for the value based off last year's stats. So trying to find that balance is going to be important. But yeah, it's, I don't know halves. It seems neutral, but who knows?
All right, Matty, well, unless you have anything else kind of different that we haven't touched upon so far, I think we've kind of covered the big topics of this whole thing. Obviously we're going to have a lot more content once things kind of come around, once we know more on this, and we have a lot more to say on this as time goes on, but I think we just kind of have to let things sit and, like you said, sift through the rubble when it's all done and dusted. I personally am excited to see what Baller kind of come back with from this, and what you guys, what the Boffins can do, because I just think that this is a big opportunity, and I'm excited to see what you guys come up with.
Mate, I am too, and it's going to might take us a couple of days to figure out, but we're gonna we'll get it all sorted. And I would just say, just get in the Discord. If you make sure you've signed up at baller.live, get in the Discord. The numbers are exploding, and it's great to see a few of the boys and girls in here in the chat tonight, getting along and contributing as well. But yeah, we're answering questions nonstop in there. We're giving team advice on team builds. I've put a hiatus on the team advice channel for 48 hours. Just so we can get our heads around these changes before we start giving out advice. But yeah, if you want advice on the team, if you want to know the impact of rule changes on certain players, Jono's been great in there. Tubes is in there. Dan's popping in. Producer Gramsy's going off his head every day. Realm and Myth, all the big guns. It's full of, oh, Finn, FT, last year's champion, is in there. So yeah, if you want amazing super coach advice and chat, then that's the only place to be. Get in baller.live/discord.
Beautiful. And yeah, if you want a good back and forth, have a chat to producer Gramsy. He will take you on. Matty, geez, you and I have checked off some good white guys in their 30s things on our bingo. Actually, you're in your 40s now, aren't you?
Come on, mate.
White guys in their 30s or 40s things, because you and I both got into running last year, and now we're doing emergency pods. We're just ticking off everything on the bingo card at the moment. But Matt, it's been fun talking about this with you tonight. I'm so keen. I'm not going to be touching my team much for the next couple of days. The temptation is there to make mass changes. I just need to let this sit and marinate, and then I'm going to make my mind up and wait to see some data before I get stuck right in. But Matty, thanks so much for joining us on this emergency pod tonight, our first ever. And can you please take us home, mate?
Yeah, thanks everyone for listening, and a big yubilee.